Good morning, everyone. God is good. Amen. Let's really thank the Lord today, shall we? Amen. So good to see you this morning. The Lord bless you. Welcome to the early service. Those that are tuning in live, it's always, always a blessing to have you as well. If you're visiting for the first time, thank you so much for being with us. Today, of course, as we know, anytime we see a video about the work that God has called us to do in Mexico, we know it's Love Never Fails Sunday. Amen? But today is not only Love Never Fails Sunday. Today is what we do one time a year, and it's Mission Sunday. And so it's so wonderful. Steve and Carol are here with us from the orphanage, and praise the Lord. It's just a wonderful time yesterday with them, and I'm going to be calling him up in just a minute. But before I do, I want to do something. Yesterday, of course, at the Celebration of Life service, I just wanted to speak out to the Helping Hands. You guys are the most incredible servants I have ever seen. What you do is with a spirit of excellence, and you could see the love that you put into it. So thank you for blessing the family. Amen. And thank you for all of your labor. Wonderful, wonderful. And wonderful ladies Bible study yesterday, and I was the doorkeeper because the door broke, so somebody had to open it and close it, and I saw, man, that place was packed. It was a great day, so Shakia did a wonderful job. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'm going to invite Pastor Steve to come up, and I want all of us to do something this morning when I pray. We're going to be lifting up a specific individual that's in the hospital right now. I received the doctor's report yesterday. No need to say what it is, but let's just do this. We're going to take Michael Munez to the throne of grace. Amen? We're going to ask God not only that his perfect will be done, but that he blesses him, extends his life, if that's God's will. Amen? Amen? So let's go to the Lord this morning in prayer. Father, we praise you. We thank you for Love Never Fails Sunday. We thank you, Lord, for Mission Sunday. We thank you, Lord, for Steve and Carol and many of the board members that are here this morning. Lord, we thank you for that. And Father, as we come to you this morning, we specifically, as we approach the throne of grace by the blood of Jesus, the place that you allow us to come boldly to present the things that we are facing. Lord, you know all about Michael. You know his condition. And we're praying right now as we present him to you. He is your purchased possession, that you touch his body. Every area, Lord, and drive out not only the infection, but the cancer and everything that's harming him and destroying him. Because, Lord, nothing is too difficult for you. You can do anything. Please touch him. And, Father, we pray over his wife, Julie, his son, Adam, for supernatural comfort and strength this morning. We give you praise for that, Lord. And, Father, we're so thankful that you have called us to the work in Mexico. We love the children. We love Steve and Carol. We love the mission team, Paul Koo, all the people, Lord, that are involved in doing so many wonderful things there. I ask you, Lord, as Pastor Steve comes up, that you bless him. We have a wonderful time this morning. And that, Lord, whatever we do, that we bring glory to Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen. And don't forget now, as Steve's coming up here, I have the mic, brother. I call him El Chavez. You know, he's a dangerous hombre. And so I want you to do me a favor. Whenever the service is over, you've got to go to the main lobby and visit with Steve and Carol. But I want you to see the wonderful things that all the children have made. It'll bless you greatly. Amen. I love you, man. Thank you. The Lord bless you.
Good morning. It's great to be back and see so many faces again and see so many new faces. And for those of you that are new, my name is Steve Chavez, and my wife and I, Carol, we've been coming to this church for about 27 years. We've been working in the mission team since 2009. So for 16 years, we've been going into Mexico near the northern border of Tamaulipas. In 2015, Pastor Bill was looking for a new place on the border where we could go work with needy children. We found a person that put us in contact with an orphanage in Camargo, Mexico, where we are now working. The situation was very bad in Mexico before 2016, and most of the orphanage support had dried up. So when Calvary Chapel first visited the orphanage, they shared with us that unless they received support soon, they may have to shut it down. So Love Never Fails Ministry decided to begin supporting and get the orphanage fully staffed and running again. Since then, mission teams from Calvary Chapel have been going down 3 to 4 times a year to support them. We've been taking supplies, making repairs, spending time with the children, and encouraging them in the love of Christ. In 2021, my wife and I moved near Rio Grande City, which is a border town next to Camargo, where the orphanage is located. This made us available on a daily basis to go in and out and work with the kids and the orphanage. As a lot goes on when you're housing 33 kids, most of which is not positive as far as wear and tear on the buildings. Things need to be fixed all the time. In spite of all this, Pastor Luna likes to share these thoughts about the orphanage and the children, which is really pretty good. In this house, we are real. We make mistakes, but we apologize. We have fun. We say we're sorry. We give hugs and we forgive. We give second chances. We're patient and very grateful. And above all, we love each other. We are the family of Casa Hogar. The orphanage, like I said, currently houses 33 children that are either orphans, they've been abused, or have been abandoned. And it's been a joy to serve there alongside mission teams that come to help and support these children. For the past month, Casa Hogar de Niños has been housing the most kids they've ever had at one time, 33 children, 25 girls and 8 boys. So I would like to share a little bit about the children that have come to the orphanage just in the last year. So this right here is Alejandra. She's 2 years old. She came to us in June of this year. This is going to be hard to just bear with me. So Alejandra happens to be the daughter of one of the boys that was at the orphanage about 4 years ago. Unfortunately, he was let out because he was old enough. He got involved with the cartels, and he was killed because he did stuff he shouldn't have done. He and Alejandra's mother are now out of the picture. Alejandra is quite a sweet little girl, and she has adapted well. Alejandra happens to be the niece of Angelica and Leslie, who are 2 older girls that go to the orphanage. So they're tickled to death to have their niece with them there all the time. And she has just been a sweet addition to the orphanage. Next. This here is Dylan. He's 3 years old, and he was only with us for a month. Dylan was found wandering the streets just too many times on his own, and he was brought to us to watch over him till something could be done for him. His mother was put in jail and will be there for the next 2 to 3 years. So his family, his aunts and grandparents, have decided that they will care for him. As of the 6th of January, Dylan has been reunited with his sister that he has and is back living with his family members. He is a huge change in that boy's life. Okay. This here is Jose. He's 12 years old. He came to the orphanage last February. Sadly, his parents and his uncle were killed due to cartel violence. His relatives were unable to take care of him and all his siblings. He has a bunch of siblings. So Jose asked to come to the orphanage because of the things that he had heard at the orphanage, and that it was he wanted to come to ease the burden off of the rest of the family members. Jose has adjusted well, and considering his loss, I think he's done very well because of the boys that are with him and help him take his mind off of things that have happened. So he stays really busy. Okay. This here is Luis. Luis is 13 years old, and he came to us not long ago. His father was mistreating him and beating him. And so Luis was taken from his family and brought to the orphanage. Luis, as you can see, is blind in one eye due to an accident. We're working to see if anything can be done to help regain the sight in that eye. Luis is a very good kid, very polite and respectable. He loves to help around the orphanage and gets along well with the other boys. And everyone has loved on him and made him feel welcome. Okay, now these three kids are all siblings. They came to the orphanage last February. The oldest one is Bijit, she's 12. Genesis is 9. And Yoli is 4. Their family situation was very difficult. I believe the father was not around, and the mother is unable to care for them any longer. They were poorly cared for and very insecure. The two younger girls both had problems with their eyes when they came. And now, as you know, thanks to you all, this past June, the two younger girls were able to have surgery to correct their eyes. Now it's like a whole new world has opened up to them. Here's some before pictures. They just had a real hard time seeing. They were taken to have surgery on their eyes. And they had to do two surgeries. One eye, let it heal for 6 weeks. Then they went back and had the other eye done. And then before that, they would hold your hand and they would follow you. I mean, they couldn't go anywhere by themselves. You had to lead them around. And that's what they just could not wait for Tio Pablo to come and help them. Today, they are different kids. They used to have you hold your hand and carry them around. Now they hold your hand just to pull you. Come and see what I did. Come and see what I did. And they lead you now instead of you leading them. There's a huge difference. But they're not done yet. They need one more surgery, and they'll probably need to wear glasses. But with your help, this is what you guys have made happen. They're different kids, for sure. So these are the new kids that were added in 2025. Some of the projects that we've done at the orphanage. One of the bigger projects is we were able to build a carport, two-car carport, to help with the heat in the summer. The elementary school is just about 5 minutes away, and with no shade for the vans are still very hot when they were there to pick up the kids because they get out like at 12:30 or something like that. But it's very hot. So with this, has made a big difference. The shade has helped cool off the vans just a little bit, and at least now they're not dripping sweat when they get home. So I think it came out pretty good, and now the vans are in the shade. You guys did it. We used to have the fence in front of the orphanage, two little figurines set, concrete figurines of a little boy and a little girl, and they fell apart. They were really cute, but they just fell apart there with the time. So we replaced them with a cross. Pastor Bill's inspiration. Next. We replaced them with a cross to show kids having fun and learning about God's love for them. Another project that we were able to do was to remodel one of the old buildings so that we could use as a recreation room. We thought this was going to be a great idea. We remodeled the bathroom, and we fixed the plumbing, we patched the walls, we painted, and it came out pretty nice. As I said, we were going to use this for a rec room. But while we were doing the remodeling, we were introduced to a man that was a music teacher. And we were able to hire him to teach the kids to play different instruments. I think there's another photo here. Yeah. So the room became not a rec room, but a music room. Now the kids are learning to play piano, guitar, bass guitar, flutes, saxophones, and drums. So now I want to show you some of what the kids have learned with the music lessons. Keep in mind that these kids never touched a instrument in their lives. They'd never played instruments, and they began in April. So just after 8 months, this is what they learned. Oh, no music. He's doing pretty good. Pretty good, huh? I can't even stretch my fingers that far. I don't know how he does it, but he has learned. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get any music, but sound. But keep in mind, 8 months ago, they didn't know anything. So they've really learned a lot. This is the next one. Yeah, that one. Just imagine classical music coming up. Next. So this is Jessica. She's learning on the recorder. She has now switched to saxophone, and she's doing really good. Next. I hope you can imagine that. It really does sound really good. You can ask the mission team. They got to listen to it in person. Over on the right there, that's Anna Jetsy. She has learned to do the piano, really well. She's learned to sew. She's just an amazing girl. This is Grecia. I don't know how many of you guys can believe this, but she's only 12 years old. And we've decided that we don't need ladders to change light bulbs anymore. We just use her. She's almost taller than I am. Some of the other things that we've done is the kids have also continued with their crafts and sewing projects. And here are a few photos of some of the projects that they've done over the past year. Mostly sewing, little pillows, blankets, and canvas painting. They're discovering talents that they didn't even know they had. Yeah. We also started a new thing this year with the boys. We were able to purchase a small welder that runs off a 220, is a stick welder and a wire welder. The older boys have caught on very well and are making repairs around the orphanage. Some of the chairs, tables, and other things that have broken, otherwise we would have thrown out, we would have been able to repair. We've fixed the basketball goals and bicycles that otherwise we would have had to throw away. The boys have also been able. To make projects that give away as gifts as appreciation to people that have come and made donations at the orphanage. This is Rogelio here. He's got. You'll see the bench at next slide. Didn't fall apart. Pretty good. We've made four of them so far, they're getting better and better at that. The older boys, let's go ahead to the next slide. Those are some of the projects that they have made. So, the older boys that are there, Rogelio and Brian, they still have 5 to 6 years left before they turn 18. And just maybe, by that time, they will have learned enough that if nothing else, they could be welders when they get out. I think there's one more, yeah. Very creative. After the service, we have a table out in the lobby. If you want to go look at some of the projects that they've made, they'll be out there for display. Also, you guys may have noticed that for Christmas, the angel tree was not so much presents as we had a. Instead, we did a list of gifts for each of the children. Pastor Luna's wife asked if we could provide bed covers for the children. So here is what you guys sent for those kids. Looked very nice. And these were them when the kids got them all before they opened them up and put them on their beds. Thank you very much for your support. That's very good. Last week, we had a great mission team come down And the kids are always waiting in anticipation, knowing that Tio Pablo and the team will be here soon. They spend 2 full days and 1 night with them. And one of the team members would like to come up and share just a little bit about that experience. Here's Liz Hahn.
So as you can see, we're so blessed to have this opportunity to go down and co-labor with Stephen Carroll and Pastor Loon and Teresa and everybody. Last year, God did such an amazing thing in our life and stopped us from moving to Ohio. And it was this time last year that I was sitting out there listening to the call that I listened to many times since 07 about going down to the mission trip. And I'm going to be honest because it's important. I need to repent. I sat there in 99% obedience. We've learned from Pastor Thomas that's disobedience, the living sacrifice, getting up off the altar. And Pastor Bill often says prayer is the work. So I've been praying, going along with them. But I tell you, when your 14-year-old daughter comes up to you and says, Mom, I have to go. I want to go. You're like, wow, I'm going to put feet to my faith and I'm going to go. And so each time I've gone, God's revealed something more to me. I've seen amazing things. First of all, what God can do with 2 people that are consecrated to the Lord, fully surrendered to Him. You know, I always thought in my head, wow, you know, Carol and Steve, they're so brave. Well, the first time I seen Carol see a cockroach and jump and scream just like me, I'm all, wow, Lord. You know, you're their superhero. It's you, Lord. She's going. She's obedient. And every time we've gone, it's been something new. We came back in September, and I was praying. And I pray over the list Pastor Bill gives us with the names of each worker there and the children. And I said, oh, Lord, I pray for this orphanage. And he said, Liz, stop calling it an orphanage. This is an embassy training facility. I hand-selected each one of these children for this training. You guys are going down there to prepare them because I have a big mission in this area. It's dark. It's wicked. The cartel is there. But the light is there. The light is there. They're being trained. And so December 4th, in the morning in my prayer time, God said, start praying for a church there. Start praying for the expansion of Calvary Chapel there, because we're often praying, Lord, how do you want to advance your territory? And he's moving mightily here. We go all over the world with the message. God wants to do a greater work there. So I kind of went to Steve and I'm all, Steve, you know, I don't know if there's property available around here, what God's doing, if it's his will to have a church. But I just think of my kids and how we often say, well, don't forsake the fellowship. Well, these are our kids. God places the solitary in families. And he placed these kids in our eternal family out there to pray for, to encourage, to spurn, and to love. And so when I asked Steve that, he said, yeah, look back there. There's 16 acres of undeveloped area. So I don't know what the Lord is doing this year, but he has big plans. And I tell you, if you're sitting there being 99% obedient, we know That's disobedient. Pray. If you can't go, pray. Intercede. As a church, can you imagine if we all unite in prayer over these children, what they can do? I was reading a book from Andrew Murray about the missionary problem. And he said this, that if one person would invite one person to the Lord each year, in 31 years, if they just continue like that, there'd be 2 billion saved. 2 billion. We have a great opportunity with these young people. You've seen all their amazing talents, and I'm telling you, the audio, you know, they all play skillfully and wonderfully as to the Lord, and they've all been given many talents and gifts. And so I ask you, if you can't go, and I encourage you to go. If you can go, go. But if you can't go, you can go in prayer. You can lock your shields of faith with us, believing that God is doing a great work there. And he is. And it's such a great opportunity to watch him manifest his glory there. So thank you for letting me talk. And I'll give the mic back to Steve.
Thank you. Well, there's one more project that is taking place, not so much at the orphanage, but right here at this church. It's the most important project and the most productive of all. Pastor Bill has asked us all to add the kids and the staff at the orphanage to our prayer list. The work that we do at the orphanage does not compare with the work of prayer that you all do for the kids and the staff at Casa Hogar. I would like to just read an excerpt from Chuck Smith's commentary on Philippians 4:16. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I love that Paul was thanking them for what they had sent, not because I desire a gift. I desire the fruit that might abound to your account. Now, God has a very interesting bookkeeping system. And in God's bookkeeping system, your investment that you make in the kingdom of God brings fruit to your account. Jesus said, "Don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust can corrupt, and decay and thieves can break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where these things cannot happen. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." God accounts to the person who supports the missionary the fruit that comes from the missionary's service. How can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except to be sent? So those that send share equally in the fruit of the ministry of those who go. You guys are the ones that's making it happen. We just get to go. The children are faced with many challenges when they arrive. They come to unfamiliar surroundings, new faces, new schools, where they are known at school as being one of the orphanage kids. It's a lot of stress and pressure on them. Please continue to the work of prayer for these kids and for the staff at Casa Hogar de Niños. These kids are in an environment that says, me, 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 me. They think that that's the only way. So we need to show them love, that love is the better way. God's love makes a way. God's love, and that he has made a way when there seems to be no way. Sometimes that's hard for them to see, and it takes time. When a flood flows over a rock, it's not much to show for it when it's over. But when a constant dripping of water over time begins to wear that rock away, that's when it makes a difference. Pray that we can be that steady dripping of God's love working in these kids' hearts. Through consistent prayer and asking God to touch these kids, in our daily persistent dripping of God's word, the love of God shown to these kids through his word, through your visits, and through what we share with them on a daily basis, we will show them, as the song says, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. As a result, these kids will come to him. Why? Because God's love never fails.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's thank the Lord for that. Amen. You know, it's amazing when you hear, you know, like Liz and all them sharing, Steve and so forth, and you realize the unity of the Spirit, meaning that, you know, the same Holy Spirit that works in you, works in me, works through all of us. Amen? And so it was almost like I was hearing what I was going to be saying to you. And I said, now, Liz, how did you do that, huh? And so forth. You know, there's a lot I want to say, but I'm not going to be able to say it. But I am going to say a few things this morning. And, you know, we set this day aside to just thank the Lord. Amen? For all of his goodness, his faithfulness. You know, the scripture says, not unto us, O Lord, not to us, but to you, to your name we give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. God is faithful. Where God has guided us all these years, he has always provided. Amen? And I rejoice for some of his greatest provisions, especially for Steve and Carol. Amen? What a blessing they are. Now I have a new name for Paul. Is it T.O.? Yes, for Paul and all the mission team, all the people that go down there, I'm so thankful. But see, you have given the children you. You have given the children what they need most. His name is Jesus. That's what they need. You know, in other words, we can love them, we can protect them, educate, shelter, all those things. And God says, praise the Lord for doing that. You know, but the thing is, we care about their material poverty, of course, but we care much more about their spiritual poverty. And so God sends children there. Why? So they can be born again, so they can hear about Christ. That's what we do, and so forth. And now listen, I want to say something to you this morning. I've never said it to this church, I don't think. Maybe one time, but it was so long ago, I'm too old, I can't remember. Many pastors, believe me, many pastors would give anything to have the privilege of pastoring a giving church. I have been given that privilege. You are, indeed, you are a giving church. And I thank you for all the years of the work that we've done, the other orphanage in Mexico and that in Africa, all the things that we've done over all these years. You have always supported all of those things. And you know what you've done? You've given the children what they need most. Not just, yes, our Lord, but you have given them a home and you have given them a family. Now, many people, they call, you know, Casa Hogar is an orphanage, and of course. But Liz just said it was something else. Did you hear her? And that's exactly what I have in my notes. Isn't that amazing that the Lord led me? He said, don't call it an orphanage because it was an orphanage. Now it is a home. Now it is a family. Now they have a spiritual mother and a spiritual father who loves them. And they have two godly role models, Steve and Carol. I'm telling you, praise the Lord. And so they, along with all of your support, listen, you have turned if you go back to the beginning and you see that place, oh my, you because of your support, your love, your prayers, your giving, going down there, you're working, you have done something. You've turned the orphanage not into a foster home, but into a real home. And that's what Steve and Carol are doing. They have made it a home. Amen? So today, you know, we're going to visit our children, but we're going to do so by giving. That's what we do on this day and it's for the children and so forth. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says, he who gives to the poor will not lack. Do you believe God's promises? But and don't define what that word lack means. Let God define it for you. Amen. But we've given children what they need most. And let me say something to you. The greatest gift that you have given unto them is found in the farewell message of Jesus to his disciples in the upper room as he was preparing to go to the cross and then to the tomb and then the ascension back to the Father. And his disciples, their hearts were broken. Let me read what Jesus said to them. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. Another means someone exactly equal to me. Helper, comforter, standby, strengthener. I will give you another helper. And listen carefully, Jesus said, that he may abide with you forever. Amen. The Spirit of truth, Jesus says, which is the Holy Spirit. He says, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive or welcome because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he, the Holy Spirit is a person, he dwells with you, meaning he's going to be with you forever and will be in you. Praise the Lord. In you forever. Now listen to what Jesus says. He's looking into his disciples and he says, I will not leave you orphans. Orphans. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you, meaning I will presence myself in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully. Yes, orphans come to the orphanage. But our Father has an incredible adoption process, amen, to where orphans become his sons and daughters, amen? Now, so listen very carefully. So what's the greatest gift we can give to the children that we continue to do what we do is this. Those who are orphans will never be orphans again when they're born again. Amen. They will be, the divine helper will be with them forever. You know, I never know what Steve and Carol are going to do. So, you know, but let me just say something to you. You know, I was thinking about, you know, the incredible parable, you know, of the Samaritan. And, let me just read a few, and then we're gonna pray. But let me just read it from Luke's gospel. Jesus was giving a parable, and he says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up." Now, a lawyer, of course, is an expert in the law, and tested Jesus. He did so publicly, all right. And he says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And in other words, what do I do to be saved? And Jesus said to them, well, what's written in the law? What's your saying or your reading of it? And he answered and he said, well, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And in Matthew's gospel, Jesus continued and said, upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, meaning everything in the Bible hangs on that verse. Amen? Now, so, you know, loving your neighbor, that's one of our favorite scriptures, isn't it? The word neighbor means who's near you. Whoever's near you right now, you should love. And you can say, well, Bill, I don't even like my next door neighbor. I don't like him. I don't like his wife. I don't like his dog. Never mind. Jesus goes, and he said to him, the expert in the law said, or Jesus said, you've rightly answered. Now, do it. Do this. You will live. But the expert in the law, he says, but he wanting to justify or excuse himself, if you will, he said to Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Can you give me a little bit more information? Can you tell me what that really means to love my neighbor as I love me? And so Jesus answered and said, well, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and they stripped him of his clothing. They wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And now by chance, a certain priest came down that road. And it says, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and he looked and he passed by on the other side. Now, we know that story so well, don't we? I mean, you know, you have two Baptist brothers, right? They're coming down from church. I'm teasing. I love the Baptists. You know that. And Presbyterians, all right? Doesn't matter. Calvary Chapelites, all right? And they know the Word of God. They're working at the temple, and they're up there keeping the candle lights going, you know, and the incense burning, all the things that they're doing. And they know to love. They know the great commandment. They recite it twice a day. They know that. But what do? Well, they're on their way home. They're ready to go care for their family, but they're not caring for the one who's dying on the side of the road. All they can do, all religion can do is just look and pass you by. Amen? And so forth. And so, you know, this guy's half dead, and the Lord is teaching them about being a neighbor. And so the thieves, they looked at the person that was half dead as their victim. And then the priest and the Levite looked at the person that was on the side of the road half dead as an inconvenience. But then a Samaritan came along, and it says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, and remember, Samaritans were outcast, and Jews could not tolerate them. And it says, and came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went to him, and he bandaged up his wounds. He poured in the oil, the wine, and he set him on his own his own animal. And it says, and he brought him to an inn. He took care of him. And the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii. That's 2 days' wages. That means he could have stayed there for 24 days. He took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So Jesus says, so which of these do you think, in other words, proved himself to be neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And the expert in the law said, well, he who showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said, you know what he said? Go and do likewise. The parable of the Good Samaritan, go, show mercy. Do likewise to those that are hurting and those who are wounded. You know, I'm going to tell you something, church. When it comes to missions, when it comes to the work we do in Mexico, when it comes to all that God is leading us to do there, may I say to you that you are indeed truly the Good Samaritan. Because these children that come there are wounded, they're hurting. Some cannot see, but you give them eyes to see again. Do you understand? They come and they've never been loved, and now they're being loved. They come and they're hungry. Some of them come, show up, they're so dirty. And it's horrible. And they can't, they're so shy, some of them. They can't even, they're so timid. And yet, everyone starts loving them. The children start loving them. And Steve and Carol are loving them, giving them a home. And guess what? They come around all because of what you're doing. Amen? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, much food is in the fallow ground or the unplowed ground of the poor. And for lack of justice, there is waste. In other words, there's so much there, but it's all being swept away. You know, a moment ago, Liz something, and of course, Steve and Carol and I have talked about it. There's a lot of acreage, but here's what I said I about all of that. I said, well, there's a lot of fallow ground. I said, let's keep plowing where we are. Amen? But maybe it's time to start plowing up a new area. Amen? Maybe it's time, because you know, when you start plowing up new areas, that means new adventures with Jesus. Amen. You know, it was 25 years ago, about 25 years, I don't know. That used to be my office up there where the media booth is. And I always called it the upper room. But it was really wonderful because I was so separated from everyone else. And back then, you know, I don't think I had a phone up there. I don't remember. But it was that Wednesday evening when the Lord spoke to my heart and about starting a public Christian charity. And I thought, literally, I was losing my mind. And I felt led of the Spirit. I already had my sermon prepared for Wednesday night, but I felt like He wanted me to go through the Bible and look up every word for poor and poverty. And when I got to Proverbs 19:17, and I know you've heard this happen before, but it literally jumped off the page to me. It literally jumped into my heart. And that scripture is the foundational scripture of Love Never Fails International, a public Christian charity for children. And that scripture is this: He who has pity on the poor. Remember, the word pity is not there in a sense emotion. It is, but it's not. It's talking about to have pity upon the poor is to give them not a hand out, but a hand up in this life. Amen? And it says, He who has pity upon the poor lendeth unto God, alone to God. God lendeth unto God. And God says, I will pay back what has been given. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but that's in the Bible. And God can't lie. And I don't know when He says, you know, you give to God a loan to help the children and so forth. He says, I'll give it back what you've been given. Don't define that. Let God define it for you, because God's definition is much greater than yours, believe me, okay? And let God be God and be a cheerful giver. You know, Becky said this morning, amazing thing to me. She said, you know, it's amazing if you have enough to bless other people. And isn't that we are so blessed, aren't we? And so, you know, I'm gonna ask the ushers to do something. I'm gonna ask them to come forth. I want you to give. Now, listen, we don't fleece the sheep here. Amen. Am I begging for money? Yes. And the only time I do is when? For children, because I am their voice. And 100%, don't take anything up yet. Thank you. I love you, but wait. 100% of what you give, every time you give on Love Never Fails Sunday, once a month, 100% of it does not stay here. Not one penny is spent here. Every penny goes to the work in Mexico. Do you understand? Even now, when the mission teams, when they go down to Mexico, it doesn't come out of anything out of the LNFI account. It all comes out of the budget at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth right here. So every penny, think of it, you're changing an entire area. You're changing children's lives. You know, and like Steve just said, he said about, you know, storing up your treasures in heaven. You remember the rich young ruler that came to the Lord? Came and ran up to him and fell down upon his knees and looked up at him and said, Oh Lord, what must, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus looked at him and he said, well, you know the commandments, you know, do not commit adultery, do not murder, and so forth. And the guy said, I've kept all those from my youth up. Jesus looked at him. I can just see it. You did, huh? Looked at him, and it says in scripture, let me read it. Jesus, looking at him, loved him after he said all those things. And he said, well, thou lackest one thing. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have, listen to the promise, you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me. And did he come and take up his cross and follow him? No, he left sad, sorrowful, because he was very rich. Now listen, if you want treasure in heaven, there's nothing greater than to give it to the poor. Amen? And that's exactly what our Lord says. Now listen, God loves a cheerful giver. You know, he doesn't want you to give out of guilt. He doesn't want you to feel like you've been coerced or manipulated. And I always tell people, don't give a cent if you're not happy about giving. Amen. Because it's not going to, God's not going to bless that. But this morning, here's what I'm asking. I'm asking you to give. No, I'm not. The children are. The Holy Spirit is. I never talk about money except now. There are more children that are coming. There's future children that are coming. And they need to be loved. They need to be fed. They need to have doctors. They need to be taken care of. They need to come to a true home in Mexico. Amen? And that's what you do. As the ushers come forth, please, quickly. And we're going to take up an offering. And that's okay. If you want to give $1 million this morning, no one's going to fight you about it, okay? And just do that and take that up. And the Lord bless you as you give. Now, as you're doing that this morning, I want to tell you that your offering that you're giving, I want you to remember it's not a piece of paper or a dollar bill or maybe you're giving, I don't know how you do it, but whatever it is, don't look at it like, oh, there's a check. No, that means something. Do you understand? It's not a check. It's food. It's clothing. It's a medicine. It's a shelter for them. It's also a home. Amen? It pays the bills. It pays the electrical bills. It pays all the workers who labor so hard. And last time Becky and I were down there, I just fell in love with the servants that work there. They're so giving and faithful and wonderful. So that's what you're doing. Amen? All right, with all that being said this morning, we're going to pray. We're going to close the service. Steve and Carol are going to be departing over to the main lobby. Please, please, please go over and see them this morning and see all the things that the kids have made. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you this morning for this early service. Thank you, Lord, for those who gave. Bless them, Father. Thank you for doing that. And Lord, just meet their every need in their life. But Lord, we just love you and we praise you for the incredible things you've called us to do. And Lord, thank you again for Steve and Carol being up here. It's always so good. I miss them, Lord, when they're not here, but they're doing such a great work there for you. So Lord, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Amen. Let's stand.